Well, good morning again. We're going to, I would ask you to pray for my voice this morning, but most of you would probably pray that it keeps going like it is so we can get out of here quicker. You know how that goes, but we'll go as long as we can and we'll see what happens in between. I might have to whisper preach today, but we are finishing up our series, kind of finished. We got maybe, Pastor Stephen is preaching next weekend, and so maybe a couple more on wisdom, but we're finishing up the little bit on simple, the fools, and the mockers today. So if you haven't been with us, this is what we've been talking about kind of the four individuals, the four types of people that we see most personified, and there's others, but most personified in the Proverbs, and in this whole series of how do we walk wisely? How do we be wise? Because there's lots of definitions of wisdom, and we want to get our definition of wisdom from the Word of God, and we want to walk in godly wisdom. So we looked at all the prerequisites, you know, what was Solomon's heart doing, and kind of, you know, some of the things that helped him to walk in wisdom, and his relationship with his dad, and David's wisdom. So as we see, as we start out Proverbs, we've read this verse for the last 3 weeks. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. Now, this is Proverbs 1:20. She raises her voice in the public square, on top of the wall. She cries out at the city gates. She makes her speech. And here's wisdom's speech. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? We see four types of people here. Now, the one is kind of hidden. It's the wise. You know, wisdom is speaking. So wisdom is calling for people to come and learn of her, learn from her, learn her ways. And so she's calling to these three types of people. And if you've never really looked at it before, you probably just kind of grazed over it. These three types of people are drastically different. They're drastically different people. We started out talking about the simple. And the simple people, they're just the like that. They're just the naive. They just don't, our phrases, they don't know what they don't know. They don't even know what they don't know. They're clueless, but they don't know that they're clueless. They're just naive. They're gullible. Their minds are on anything. You ever seen anybody that gets easily tricked into stuff? That's the simple person, right? That's the simple person. And simple morally as well. Gets seduced by the adulteress. You know, we read that verse. The simpleton was going down there, and he's going to get his arrow pierced with a liver, right? That's a bad place to go. That leads to the grave. The simple get drawn into goofy things with bad friends, right? Because they're just naive. They want to be popular. They want to, okay, it looks like fun. The simple don't understand the consequences. That's just it. The simple don't understand. They don't get it. They don't get that what they do have consequences. And so often the simple is used of the young, because kids and teenagers, guess what? They don't get. And it's not their fault, but they don't get the consequences. And so as parents and leaders and grandmas and grandpas and pastors, we want to help them learn. So often they're simple, not because of any fault of their own, just because that's their condition. And so you see a lot of Proverbs written to the young, a call to the young, a call to the simple. So that's the simple. They're just clueless. They're just naive. And they just kind of like to have fun. They like to do their simple things. But they can be corrected by information. They just need to know. They need to, you ever heard of like mentor programs or, you know, just teaching youth groups, like just home? Please, if this is just a little odd, random thing, if you're raising kids, please, or grandkids, it's fun to have meals while you're watching TV, but I would just challenge you, if you don't do it, sit around a table. Sit around a table without other things playing. It's a bizarre moment that you will cherish for the rest of your life, because it's awkward, but guess what happens in those moments? Real connection and real conversation. And I would just challenge you, if you're listening by radio, if you're watching this later by video, I would just challenge you to fight through the awkwardness of that, because it is worth it. Secular studies back that up. So much research of one of the best things that you can do is just if for family connection and for passing along values and really getting to the heart of your kids. Man, shut the stupid TV off. Turn them, you know, put the music on quiet if it's going to be on, whatever. If you need to, my dad always used to say, we're afraid of the silence. And I think in 2021, that's more true than ever. You want to see someone squirm? Shut it off. I'm talking adults. You want to see people squirm? Just shut everything off and make it quiet. People don't like what's inside of them. They don't like dealing with it. We like medicating it. And if we're Christian, we medicate it with busyness and with our minds buzzing around. Well, that's not even what we're talking about today. How'd we get on that topic? That is a rabbit trail for sure. Thank you for noticing that. So the fools, now they're different. See, the simple will learn from their mistakes. They will learn because they just don't know. So, you know, the classic example that I told you about, the electric fence and Skittles and spit and what electric fence does to your lips after you eat candy and it strings down and hits the electric fence. Yeah, it gives you hot lips. So I was no longer simple. But if I would have done it again, now if I would have done it again and I thought, okay, I can get it this time, and the same thing happened, then I would have slid from the simple category to the fool category. See, the fools, they're convinced that they can figure this out, and they can, you know what, it'll be different this time. And so they keep bumping their head against the wall. And the Bible talks about fools, and there's lots of hope for the simple. There's some hope for the fools. But there's some pretty strong language that comes with fools. You need to be careful of fools because they're, you know, better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly is one of the Proverbs. We didn't read that one. But, you know, that's what the Proverbs writer is saying. Better to meet anyone ever chase cattle? Anyone ever chase cattle with little calves? One of my most vivid memories of childhood, we were in Dave's orange pickup. What was that pickup? A Chevy? We're in Dave's orange Chevy, some like 70s, early 70s, late 60s, 72 Chevy. And Dave had a calf that needed to come home. And so us kids are in the back of the pickup back in the days, you know, before everybody lost their minds and you could ride in the back of pickups and, you know, flying through the pasture with this calf in the back of the pickup. And, you know, I was the old one out of the group, you know, so I was probably 11, 12 at the oldest, you know, probably younger than that. And so we decided we got to get this calf back. Well, Dave's cows were ornery. And so I remember hanging on to that calf with us kids in that pickup, and that mama cow hitting that pickup and me going, oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. We're going to die. And the Proverbs writer says it's better to be in a situation like that than to meet a fool in his folly. So there's some pretty strong language with fools. But fools, they're convinced that they're right, but that's really what they're focused on. They're just focused on them being right. Okay, and they end up destroying a lot of other people's lives. So we talked about fools last week. And more than the simple, they need consequences. So you can't just talk a fool out of his folly. You can't just say, hey, fool. I wouldn't suggest you say that anyways. But you can't say, hey, fool, you know, if you did this, it would, because he's convinced that his way is right. Right, wives? Just kidding. Have you ever been married to some of those people before? Not that the wives are the fools, that you're married to them. Just be kind to your husbands. No, I was saying that the husbands are the fools. Yeah. Because the wives try to tell us, we don't listen, do we? We don't listen, do we, dear? Moving on. Yeah, okay, that's right. Another proverb. Thank you. So, Smarty's way of biblically saying, shut your mouth. Stick to the notes, honey. So we get today, and we get to mockers. And so what you may not have known and what we have been kind of uncovering is that this is really just a progression. These are people that are in different places, but you don't get to stay in one category for very long. If you stay being simple intentionally, you move into the category of a fool. And if you stay a fool long enough, you end up becoming a mocker. And so we see mockers today. Mockers are arrogant and prideful. They're a lot like a fool, but there's some subtle differences. They don't learn from rebukes or mistakes. See, a fool will learn from his mistakes. A fool, you know, he needs to learn the hard way. You know, beatings for the, you know, are for the backs of the fool. That's what the Word of God says. Here's the thing. Fools don't want to, we read in Proverbs 1 there that fools hate wisdom. They hate knowledge. Mockers hate you. Fools hate wisdom, and mockers hate correction as well. We're going to see that. They hate correction, but where a fool is convinced that he's right, and so he hates this, don't try to tell me that. Come on, let's just hang out. My way is right. A mocker hates you. It's subtle, but it's a difference. A fool is just convinced he's right, so he hates you trying to tell. He doesn't hate you. He hates the fact that you're trying to tell him a different way because he's convinced his way is right. No, trust me, the 93rd time is going to be the way. It's going to work out the way I want it to. Where a mocker hates you for having the audacity to come and try to correct him or tell him anything different, give him any kind of advice. That's the difference between a fool and a mocker. The Bible says that mockers seek wisdom but can't find it. And here's one. Mockers are a source of strife and contention. There's always stuff getting stirred up where there's mockers around. We're going to read some of these verses later, and you'll see that in the Word of God. But they bring the exhaustion into the relationship. Like, where there is mockers, there's strife, there's ugliness, there's fighting, there's quarreling, there's contention. Often because of that last line there, because they feel superior. Fools just feel like they're right. You know, they're really focused inward. Mockers are focused outward. Fools are focused inward. I'm right. Don't try to tell me, you know, hey, I like you, but just shut up. You know, I don't want to listen to you. Mockers are focused outward. I'm right, and you are stupid. And they want to mock you and ridicule you and tear you down and build themselves up by, do you see how sinister and ugly mocking is? So, kind of an interesting thing. I'm going to show you three different verses, and these are in Proverbs 1, Proverbs 8, and Proverbs 9. So, as of course, when we read Proverbs, we start in chapter 1 and we move our way through, right? That's how it was written. So, I just want to think that there was kind of a crafting. It doesn't say this, but I think we can see a pattern here. So we read this verse already. So look at the end here. So this is wisdom crying out, how long will you simple love your simple ways? How long will you mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Calling out, wisdom's crying out, calling out, making this appeal, this advertisement, come and learn from me. Okay, so that's Proverbs 1. Find it very interesting. We get to Proverbs 8 and it says this, you who are simple, gain prudence. And this is, remember, Proverbs 8 is wisdom's speech. That's the big chapter on wisdom's big speech. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Where's the mockers? So he started out calling out to mock. Anyone who will listen, come and get wisdom. But as the sage of God is going through the Proverbs and teaching his son and laying out wisdom, the mockers dropped off. And we're seeing, okay, come on, foolish. Come on, you simple. And we get to Proverbs 9, and it says this. This is, again, wisdom speaking. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point on the city, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you'll live. Walk in the way of insight. I don't see fools or mockers anymore. It's a dangerous place to spend any time in those. And so I'm just challenging us as we walk through kind of these 3 weeks of this, knowing how to interact with people in your lives. Some of this strife and contention in your lives maybe will subside a little bit if you know that you're not going to You're not going to convince a mocker with your words. So it might give you some peace. Not that we don't take every opportunity that God gives us. If they ask questions and there's good little insights, you're not going to convince a fool often. Sometimes they just have to learn the hard way. But simpletons will. So you should say something to them. And it also helps us have the mirror turned on our own lives. Is there an area of my life like that just continually keeps going wrong? And why is that? Am I doing the same thing over and over again? Am I being a fool? I am. Wouldn't you want to know before you end up sliding into the mocker category? Right? Wouldn't we want to be aware of that? So not only is this to give us more peace and to help us have more effectiveness in dealing with others, it's to be a mirror for our own lives. And all of the Word of God is given to us for correction and reproving, for training in righteousness, right? It's for our understanding. So we want to be wise. And we just see that as we move through the Proverbs, those other two drop off. So we're going to go to Psalms real quick. Psalms chapter 1, the very first in the canon of the scriptures, the Psalms, the very first verse starts out with this one. You guys have all heard this verse before. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. Say wicked. Wicked. Those are evil people, right? Or stand in the way of sinners. Say sinners. Sinners, right? Evil people. Or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. I find it very interesting that fools aren't the one that made it in there. Mockers, in this category of, if you want to walk in a blessed life, if you want to, you know, you gotta commit your heart to the Lord and delight in the law of the Lord, but be careful where you're standing, sitting, and walking. Right? Be careful where you're standing, sitting, and walking. Be careful where you're standing, sitting, and walking. Did you hear that? Okay. I just want to make sure. This is so critical. There's wicked people. There's sinners. And then there's mockers. So, obviously, don't walk in step with the wicked. So we don't want to do we don't want to be walking, you know, where the wicked are walking in step with them, or stand in the way of sinners, you know, sinning, doing sinful things, taking that way. But I find the mockers really interesting. What do you do when you're sitting? Especially in that culture, you're learning. When you're sitting, you're learning. You're sharing hearts. You're learning of one another. You're fellowshipping when you're sitting. It's what we do when we eat. It's what we do when we hang out. Except guys, we lean against a truck and look at away somewhere. But we sit and we converse. And we share and we open up our hearts, right? And David is saying, man, don't sit in that company. You see, fools are content to just be this little rolling ball of destruction. They're just like a bowling ball knocking pins over, right? The mocker is the owner of the bowling alley. He's advertising for people to come. A mocker wants a following. A mocker wants to feel superior. A mocker wants to mock God and mock his ways and belittle other people and draw people to his side to agree with him. And David says, don't sit there. Be careful, because mockers can be so forceful and so educated that they sound viable. David's like, if they're mocking God's ways, if it goes against the Word of God, just, man, beat feet and get out of there, right? Just turn tail and run. We don't need to be in the company of mockers, because that sludge, it gets on us, and it starts to change the way we think if we're not in the Word of God. All right, I read this this morning, and this next quote that I'm going to share with you, and again, I couldn't find the author of it. But I was just thinking about mockers in our culture today. And my goodness, there is a, and as I was driving to church this morning, I'm like, there's such a spirit of mockery in our culture. And so I was looking at just a couple more articles and stuff, and I found this quote. I'm like, whoa, that's just what I was thinking this morning. I'm like, it just, like, that's the vessel that people so often use. It's this scoffing, arrogant, prideful, scornful mockery to just this political spirit, this, and it even works its way into the church. But this, I don't want to have that spirit. And so I was thinking about our culture, and in light of this verse where David is saying, don't sit in the company of mockers, said this, in a culture drenched with mockery, it's easy for our hearts to be filled with a spirit of scorn. It's hard when we get discouraged, when we get frustrated at what's happening in our family, what's happening in our nation, what's happening in globally, fill in the blanks. And it's easy in this day of heightened anxiety and frustration, and everything's just kind of right there and accessible, and I'm going to give you my opinion. Oh, I don't care that you didn't ask for it. It's just, and like we feel like that's our right now instead of, you know, gosh, good communication. And so there's just this volatility. It's easy to adopt this in my frustration, and even some righteous frustration, it's easy to adopt a spirit of scorn. And I now begin to belittle people and look down. Guys, it's the wrong spirit. You might have the right message, but let's have the right spirit. Okay? At least just consider that statement. If you disagree with it, just consider it. Catch my breath. Thank you for your pausing. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that above all, you must understand. Understand. Like, it doesn't feel like it should be this way, but Peter's saying, just, hey, get it. There's going to be scoffers. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Let's do a couple popcorn verses in Proverbs quick about what a scoffer, what a mocker is. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name. He behaves with, I love this line, behaves with insolent fury. Does that not describe social media? He behaves with insolent fury. You know, and when I think of mockers, man, I just have a couple names that even come to mind, and like that scares me, because they're just vicious, and they mock the ways of God, and they're violent in their mocking, and they're aggressive, and they're arrogant, and they have a big voice, and they want people to come alongside of them. That's the difference between a mocker and a fool. A mocker is out front and tearing down and belittling and rallying people to their cause. And a different version says, mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance. Endless, boundless, unbridled arrogance. And we don't want to be those people. Just so that you know, with these, that's bad. Okay, just making sure we're all on the same page here. That's bad. This is not to be emulated. We want to be people of character and people of peace and patience, right? Proverbs 15:12 says, mockers hate to be corrected, so they stay away from the wise. And we talked about strife earlier. This verse says, drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. See, the mocker gets energized by belittling. The mocker gets power. He gets identity. He gets energy from tearing down and from mocking and walking in his foolish ways. And so when you invite a mocker into your midst, and there's time, right? We've all got family gatherings we got to go to or whatever. None of your families, but you know, I don't know. We've all got places we've got to go to work or whatever. But like, why can't you just, oh, maybe they're a mocker. Maybe they're absorbing energy, and that is fueling their identity by tearing down your God ideas. And I'm just saying, sometimes you just got to shut your mouth. Now, there are times, and I just be led by the Spirit. We're just going from the Word of God here. We're taking general, and again, just a reminder, Proverbs is general principles. Say general. It's just general principles. They don't work this way every single time, okay? This is just, it's an observance of how life works. So please be led of the Spirit, and if there's a time where the Spirit is nudging you to say something, please, you need to say it. But often, the way that mockers work is anything you say is just going to fuel them. They just live for that debate, and for them, they don't want to have an intelligent conversation. They don't want to work this out. They're out for one goal. They're out to fuel their deficiency, and they want to mock and belittle and tear you down. Mockers can get a whole town agitated, it says in Proverbs 29. But the wise will calm anger. Mockers can get a whole town agitated. We want to be so careful that we don't pick up that spirit. And we want to recognize that. And just talking to these people often isn't going to work. We see kind of what God thinks of the mockers in this verse. The devising of folly is sin. And the scoffer or mocker, sometimes it says scorner, sometimes it says scoffer, sometimes it says mocker in some versions, is an abomination to mankind. Wow. Wow. Now think about that. The next time that you want to secure your position by just tearing someone else down and belittling and mocking them, I'm not saying that we don't speak truth. Please hear me. This is not a, hey, I'm okay, you're okay. That's not that kind of garbage. I'm not saying that we don't take a stand and we don't, but we can do it in the right spirit. We can do it in a way that I don't have to tear you down and belittle you and mock you and scoff at you to make my truth known. I don't want to partner with that kind of a spirit. And it makes me cringe. And so, whether it is or not, we see that this is what God thinks of that kind of a person that is just mocking the ways of God. They're convinced that they're right. So much so that they shake their fist at God and they want to rally followers to themselves. And God says they're an abomination. Now, we are living after the cross. This stuff was written before the cross, so grace does have an effect here. I'm going to say that. These are generalizations. I'm just going to say we're on the flip side, so we have the grace effect happening, and we know many mockers that have come to the Lord, right? So we're not being hopeless here. We're just giving you some insight into wisdom. So don't write them off completely. Please pray for them. Proverbs 3:34 says, this is God speaking, God mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. I don't want to be mocked by God. Wow. I don't want God to oppose me. I don't want to ever be in that position. So that means if I've got foolish behavior in my life, what comes after a consistent movement of foolish behavior in my life, I end up sliding into mockery because I can't stay in that for forever. I want to root out those areas of my life. I want to hold the mirror of the Word of God up to my life and say, is there any area that I'm being foolish in? Is there any area that I'm being simple in? Is there any area, God forbid, that I'm mocking the Lord? Am I being flippant with God and Have I accidentally, quote unquote, have I mocked God by just, I'm not saying that we can't ever be frustrated with God, because we're human, and He knows we've got this treasure in jars of clay, but I don't want to slip into mockery in that. I want to be so careful that I don't mock the ways of the Lord. So I don't mean to be over dramatic. But I want to always revere Him. Even in my frustration, I want to revere Him. I want to revere His ways. A couple more here. Whoever, this is Proverbs 9, 7-8. Whoever corrects a mocker, and this is where we see the fool hates your advice, the mocker hates you. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. The mocker shows us the danger of self-deception. I'm going to end with this. Guys, we've got to have something outside of the thing between our two ears to tell us right and wrong, to tell us good and bad, to tell us truth and falsehood, to tell us appropriate and not appropriate. We've got to have something outside of us. And so the mocker does not want to listen. He is so encapsulated in his own world. His way is right, and he's dived down into self-delusion to such a degree that he's now recruiting people, and his means of weaponry is belittling, mocking, and scoffing. And it's a dangerous place when we're left between our own two ears. That's why the devil wants to get you alone. What do you do when you have a bad week, when you mess up, when you sin, when you fall short? What do you want to do? Come run to church or stay in your bedroom in the dark? Right? We want to thank you, Matthew, for the right answer. Right? We want to seclude ourselves. We want to hide because we don't want to face the light. Man, the more you mess up, the more you should get to church. Right? The more we want to seclude, then the devil just picks us off. Man, we need each other. We need other voices. And I tell this story all the time, or this principle, or whatever it is. I'm an introvert. I'm very internal. I process internally. So I would get myself constant. This would have over 24 years, 5 years. I would have this scenario worked up in my head where pretty much life's done. You know, this is it. It's the worst thing that has ever happened to me. Like, I just can't believe this is so bad. You don't even know. And just my, you know, just dramatic. You know, my wife says I'm dramatic. I don't see it. But, you know, just terrible, horrible, rotten things. The devil's just pounding me 10 ways from Sunday. And I would walk in, and Dwight, Pastor Fearing, and I, we worked side by side for 20 plus years, and we just knew each other just so well. And he'd be like, okay, what's up? I'm like, oh, it's horrible, it's terrible. And he's super compassionate. What? Tell me about it. Sit down here. He'd pour me coffee. Tell me about it. And I would start to articulate what was going on. And I would find by the time I got to the second sentence, he'd be like, and? And often I'd have to just stop and be like, well, there's got to be more than that. True story. I mean, if it happened once, it happened a dozen times. I'm sure dozens of times. But when I get out of my own head and I get it out on the table and we bring it out into the light, and he's like, well, let's pray. I'm like, yeah, I guess it's not that big a deal. Let's pray. And I was convinced that this is the end of life as I know it. Like, this is the most horrible, terrible thing. We've got to have other voices in our life besides the voices in our head. We create such horrible scenarios for our own self. That's why worship is so important. Get our eyes on Jesus. That's why communion and connection is so important. So that's why prayer teams are so important. So we have people pray with discipleship and fellowship and just hearing one another talk and hearing that, oh gosh, well, you've had a really rough week. Boy, I thought, right? Getting outside of our own mind, right? There's so much mental illness happens when we turn inward. So much mental, I'm not talking about like chemical-based mental illness, but soul-based mental illness. Like this, we've said this, we try to say this every half a year or so, because it's so helpful. It was so helpful to me when I learned this, that the root of so many things is I didn't get my way. depression is I didn't get my way. And I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about soul depression. I didn't get my way in the past. Anger is I'm not getting my way right now. And fear is I'm not going to get my way in the future. I'm not saying that's all of it, but I'm saying that's a helpful tool to self-diagnose a little bit. And so that's where I start before I go for advice or before I talk to other people. And I talk to Jesus, and this is not a series on emotional health, but we're talking about wisdom here. I run through that. When I find that I'm in a funk for an extended period of time, I'll ask myself those questions. Where did I not get my way? And often the Holy Spirit will just bring something to mind. Oh, you're upset about this, or you're depressed about this. You didn't get your way. It didn't work out like you wanted it to. Like, okay. Well, I don't want to stay here. All right, well, let's be happy. And the Lord will walk me right out of it. Often weeks and weeks of that will end in, I'm just telling you guys, from someone that really has struggled in the past from crippling emotions, it like in 5 minutes, we'll walk out of it and it doesn't come back again. And I'm not talking about clinical stuff. I'm talking about self-induced, soul-based, kind of just poor management of our emotions. And the devil's just kind enough to let you stay in that cycle. And he'll even feed that, right? He's just that kind of a guy. And so if we give him that kind of tools, he'll jump on that bandwagon. So we've got to have the Word of God challenging us, challenging our thoughts, because we can create so many scenarios that we think are so real, and we become a fool, we become a mocker, and we start to think, I know better. I know how life works. If we want to walk in wisdom, it's got to be God first. It's got to be His Word. We've got to accept advice.